From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate is looking to overhaul food safety in a big way. Taiwan is lifting a ban on some beef imports, and USDA says it will take a month or better to consider whether it should buy more U.S. pork in order to prop up that ailing industry. Dave Dickey will have details of all these stories shortly. And then we'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center as we close out this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat, 4 cents lower. It settled at $5.47¾. The March down 2½ at $5.66¾. And the far deferred July for the harvest month finished a bit higher for the day. It was up a penny and a half at $5.89¼. In Kansas City, December contract at $5.49½ for the hard red, down 3½ cents. December corn, $3.97¾, down 5¾. The March 5½ lower at $4.09¼. May contract 4.17½, down 6. And July 4.24¾, 5½ lower. September futures 4.26¾, down 5½. And next year's December corn, 5¼ cents lower on a rainy day at $4.29¾. December oats 2.50¼, 14 lower. March down 13½ at 2.63¾. Soy complex $10.06. The settlement price for the November up a half. January a half higher at 10.07½. And then we start into the black or the red. March was unchanged at 10.06¾. May at 9.99, down a penny. July down a penny and a quarter at 9.97½. And November futures 6½ cents lower at $9.81½. Bean meal finished December up 2.50 at 303.30. Bean oil December contract down 36 cents at 37.94. October live cattle 86.35, 40 cents higher. The December up 2½ at 87.40. Ock feeders at 94.25, down 20 cents. And December lean hogs at $53.25, down 70 cents. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Outside markets on the afternoon look like this. December crude oil futures, settlement price there at $80.50, down 69 cents. Jan's at $81.19, down 65. November ethanol, $1.98½, 0.3 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.79¾. It's still trading, down 15¼ cents at this point. Our Bob gasoline, 0.4 cents lower at $2.03¾ in the November contract. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 2¼ cents lower at $2.06¼. And the gold futures today, a settlement price there at $1,055.60. Down $2.20. The Dow currently trading at 9,959 points, just about 121 points lower for the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar at 75.45 is up 0.36 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, with an update from Mike Sola. He says this afternoon should be cloudy and then turning colder. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, some drizzle. Lows will range from 35 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 45 in southeastern Indiana. And then tomorrow in Illinois, cloudy, a chance of a few lingering showers in the east early. Otherwise, becoming partly sunny from west to east. In Indiana, cloudy, scattered showers, drizzle, tapering off from west to east during the afternoon. And highs will range tomorrow from 47 in the north to 57 in the far south. The extended forecast says the dry period will not last long, as showers are expected to return to northern and western central Illinois on Sunday and to the rest of the two-state area Sunday night and Monday. Dry weather expected Monday night into Tuesday morning. Models then disagree on the timing of the next rain. The more aggressive American model pushes showers back to the northern and west central parts of Illinois and elsewhere Tuesday night, but the European model says maybe later in the week. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the hour.
Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette always joins us Friday. He's here this afternoon by phone. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
Hey, kind of a rainy day. I think we've got a lot of ground to cover today. I've got a whole bunch of questions for you, but I want your broad brush look at the marketplace for both corn and soybeans first, please.
Well, I think some of the people in Chicago are starting to feel like that maybe this weather or this market in the grains, Todd, was more weather related than it was outside markets, and I've always had this position that it's probably a combination of both, and I think today's market showed us that it still is a combination of both, because we got continued bullish weather updates on the midday models, very cold and very wet, but yet the outside markets, especially the S&P 500 and the crude oil, started to take some profit and get weaker during the mid-time of the session when those models came out, and they kind of won the battle in terms of who threw in the towel, and it seemed like the longs in corn especially wanted to go ahead and go home with some profit in their pockets when they closed out the session. So I think today's broad brushstroke would say we're still on the same path that we've been on for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Weather premium has been pushed back into prices, but the outside markets are still a major point of contention, and probably the most likely scenario that could develop to push prices and grains down, even with bullish weather still in the mix.
Okay, so generally speaking, if I remember correctly, most guys don't like to go home on a weather premium for a couple of days when things could change without getting out of the positions they're in, which, of course, would have been long positions. You think that's just what happened, and we'll see a pop back up Monday if the rainfall continues?
Well, I think we'll see a pop back up if the outside markets were a one-day correction and a one-day corrective wave and the dollar finds pressure again when we come back. But I think there's a lot more talk that the dollar's trying to carve out a bottom, that the health care bill and the public option has been factored in terms of weakening the dollar and pushing it down to these recent lows. I think, yeah, generally speaking, what you just said, that today's trade showed me, in my opinion anyway, that bullish weather will be hard to factor into prices from here on out, that it was hard for the bulls to hold on even with bullish weather here, and I think that those outside markets are playing a more important role, and I think that may be why the beans held in there stronger than the corn, not just because the corn was up more for the week than the beans, but also because maybe we'll be able to get back to shell corn faster than we can cut beans. Maybe those types of things are working in the individual market price action, but I think broad brush stroke of what's going on in the markets, I think the outside markets are the leader to the downside here if we don't have good holiday consumption and good holiday buying.
Okay, and then tell me how you're viewing demand for the marketplace. I think that's been changing over time just a bit.
Yeah, I think what we have seen is the trade come back in and reevaluate the demand side of the market and say, okay, if supplies are indeed falling, the end user can't be hand-to-mouth anymore. And so in that sense, demand has been improving. Today, though, the USDA gave us the chicken and eggs updates, and we saw broiler placements down 2% again in September versus last year at 6.72 million head. I think you see those kind of demand numbers in the livestock continuing, where your livestock feed demand continues to erode or peak or go lower by the time we get into the first of 2010. So generally speaking, I think the trade has reevaluated their demand look from a standpoint of feeling like they can be just-in-time, commercials can be just-in-time buyers, and users can just buy hand-to-mouth. That's been put back into the trade, but the basis still is not reflective of that fully. However, when you look at the livestock numbers, I think they're still generally going down, and therefore the demand is getting in the peak time period right here.
Okay. Are you short-term neutral to friendly the corn market and then longer-term bearish? Is that right?
No, I don't think that. I think you're in a trading range market here in the corn, because I think we have to keep in mind in the stepping back 2, 3, 4 months what's going to be planted most aggressively, and it still is the soybeans. And so when you look at the longer-term picture, that the wheat is still the most burdensome, and therefore it's going to compete effectively with the corn for the next 6 months. However, the corn acres globally will probably be down, and therefore the corn has a certain amount to fall, but not a terrible move lower like we saw last week, unless the outside markets get sick. So what I'm trying to build here in the analysis is we have more of a trading range market that we're going to go into in the feed grains, where your lows are higher and your highs are lower unless those outside markets get sick again, which I'm concerned about. In the beans, we probably have more of a short-term higher market because of the tight supplies, but we will bring on a lot of supplies down the road here, and I really question whether China's going to keep buying at the pace they've been buying here the last couple, 3 years, especially if the dollar does find a turning point and go higher. So the feed grain sideways to lower here with good support in the longer term because of acres in corn, and acres in beans are going, or wheat is going down too because of this weather. However, the beans, probably the exact opposite.
All right. Anything else that you want to make sure we know about before I let you go for the day?
I'd say the only thing we want to watch out for the beans specifically on Monday is I got the assumption that the trade is thinking we're not going to make very much progress on the bean harvest this past week, and then us coming in at 30%, it may be hard to break 40% in terms of the trade rumors that I've been picking up. But I think based upon clients in the central and eastern belt, they've really gone hard after the beans. I wouldn't be surprised to see the harvest progress get closer to the 50% mark. So I'd be on the lookout for that Monday afternoon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Mike had to say again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org, or you can dial this number at 10:15 and 3:15 Central. Get a bit of analysis and the either opening market numbers or the closing market numbers. The phone is 217-333-3434. Let me repeat that for you. 217-333-3434. Updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Your Director of Ag Programming here at Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, is here now with all the ag news for the day.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate took a first step toward passing a sweeping bill to overhaul food safety, holding a hearing at which the head of the Food and Drug Administration testified that the agency would need more funding and authority to carry out requirements in the bipartisan bill. FDA Commissioner Margaret Hamburg told the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee that the agency wants the Senate bill to look more like legislation that the House approved in July. She noted that the House bill would give FDA easy access to food production records during routine inspections and would help fund the agency by charging food companies registration fees of $500 a year per facility. Taiwan Today says it will lift a ban on imports of a range of U.S. beef in-bone products, including porterhouse steak. The health department in Taiwan says all imported beef products will have to carry a label of approval from USDA. Only meat products from cows aged 30 months or younger that are approved by certified veterinarians can be imported. Taiwan previously banned all U.S. beef containing bone. USDA says that it will take a month or two for the agency to decide whether to buy more pork to prop up the money-losing hog industry. The National Pork Producers Council wants the government to buy at least $50 million of pork products to use for government food assistance programs. Hog producers have lost on average nearly $23 for each hog marketed since September of 2009. USDA spent $164.6 million to buy 100 million pounds of pork during fiscal year 2009. USDA says that Urbana's Market at the Square has been chosen as one of 28 Illinois farmers markets or food projects to receive grant funding. Market at the Square will receive $15,000 in 2010 to promote a new initiative called Eat Here, on-site and online programming devoted to encouraging consumers to consider their local farmers market as a primary source of purchasing fresh, locally grown produce. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week. We'll post that second program to our website at willag.org after about 6 o'clock this evening. Our panelists in studio will be Jackie Vakes, Mike Georgie, and Matt Bennett. The guest, Aaron Curtis of Midco. You can visit us online at willag.org and listen to Commodity Week anytime you'd like. Now, up next, you know it's highly unlikely farmers in the Midwest will complete all their field work. I'm not telling you anything new there. But the experts do say it would be a mistake to try to get it done even after the ground freezes. It is late fall and the combines are just getting a good start in the fields of the Midwest. This delayed harvest will reverberate right on through to next spring. It's a bit like last year, but on a much larger scale, says University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger. He says it's highly unlikely, and probably shouldn't be the case, that the combines will be followed up this fall by tillage.
The chances of getting good conditions to do either tillage or nitrogen applications this fall are not very good. Particularly concerned about tillage. People did compaction last spring, and now they're thinking, well, this is our chance to relieve that compaction. We'll go out there and deep rip. We've had, I think, here in Champaign area, four inches of rain in the first half of October. The chances of getting weather that will dry that out to a fit condition to actually get the shatter that we need for good tillage operation is simply really low.
Nafziger warns that trying to do fall tillage in the winter time to relieve the compaction created last spring when fields were planted under really wet conditions won't work. He says it isn't possible to get the soil shatter necessary. It leaves just one not-so-good tillage and nitrogen application alternative.
I think that many people are going to have little choice but simply to wait till the spring and to take our chances again. The chances of getting soils dry enough to do a good job of tillage in the spring, deep tillage in the spring, is not very high again. At least it's not high before the time we need to be thinking about planting. And so we may do what we did this year again next year, and that's kind of throw ourselves on the mercy of the weather and hope that our transgressions in the field aren't going to hurt us too badly when we get the new crop planted next year.
Fortunately, thinks the agronomist, most of the soils in the Midwest are pretty forgiving of the transgressions forced upon the farmer by weather and time. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon, time to check the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us. He manages 10 elevators in that company. Good afternoon to you, Bruce. How are you?
Good.
All right. A couple of things. I have so many questions today. I'm not sure exactly where to start, but let's start with your ability to dry across those 10 elevators. What's the capacity, do you think? Or maybe just there at your Ludlow position.
We have drying capacity. Theoretical. And when somebody talks about the rated capacity, it's at 5 points of moisture. We've got a theoretical drying capacity of 35,200 bushel an hour. In a 23-hour day, that's about 810,000 bushels. Now, here's the ringer. That's at 5 points of moisture. What we're seeing come in is much, much wetter than that, and the real-life capacity we're getting out of these things right now is about a third of rated capacity. So that takes me down to 11,400 bushel an hour, or about 265,000 bushels per day. I can dump that in 3.5 hours.
Wow, so that's using, like 1,200
using one
acres,
leg
right?
Per and that's just using one leg per location. If I open more up, I can cram myself full quicker.
240,000 would be, divided by 200, be 1,200 acres.
Yep.
Is that across all 10?
That's across all 10.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, because I checked with the Andersons, and they're in that 10,000 an hour range. So yeah. They've got 10 that run 900 bushel, but that's at 5 points probably. And
yeah.
And are yours as old as everybody else's? Because they're like 40 years old. It's unbelievable how
the
old
average
stuff is.
Dryer out there is about 30 years old. We have one new one that came online a week ago. I wish I had 20 new ones that came online a week ago.
Okay.
But the key is these points of moisture. It's going to make a huge difference on us whether what real capacity we're getting out of these things, because if it's down on 20, 22, you know, if you're doing 50% of capacity, now you're talking 410,000 bushel a day.
Right.
So what we can get through them, and I'm figuring 23 hours a day because this crop isn't handling real well, so we're going to have to do extra attention to cleaning and maintenance.
So the other thing is that how much of the crop do you I mean, are you thinking you're going to have to dry everything this year?
Yes.
As opposed to, you know, a week's worth last year or 2 weeks
in general? Normally we run hard for a week, maybe two if it's a wet year. Last year we ran a little bit longer, but it was coming in on an average of 18% moisture.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done much corn yet, but it's come in from 19, 20, 21 on the low end, 34% on the high end.
Okay, so now I've got a second question for you, because Paul Cooley 2 weeks ago on the Wednesday show and this week too said, you know, and I had to call him this morning to make sure. It's not the late harvest. It's the wet harvest that he says is bearish. So I guess that's because you guys get to handle it all, that it just can't be stored really, I suppose, on the ground or in a bin without being dried in some form. So it's all got to come into commercial hands fairly quickly. And even if a farmer tries to store it, you probably can't store it that long, and then you run into, for instance, the weight limits change, and they got to move it because they can't store it through April.
Yeah.
And
I mean, if I take my projected handle and divide it by that many bushels today, I come in the 50 to 60-day range to handle the harvest. And you can't put it – there are other ringers. I mean, the farmer can't just fill up a bin with 28% corn and not expect it to go up in smoke.
Right.
And we can't sit here and stockpile a bunch of damp corn with heavy air on it and wait for a rainy spell to get through and dry it, because 2 or 3 days, the corn will start going bad on us. You open the gate up at the bottom and it won't come out.
Okay, I've got 50 seconds. So I guess the point is eventually we got it. You have to think – is it the weather, or that you get enough corn in that you just say, no, I can't take any more? And it's not the daily basis, but enough corn, period, that you say, I can't take any more, and then you drop the bottom out of it. Which way does it go?
I think it's just a case that we're going to drag harvest out.
Okay.
And it's going to be a long handle on it. Now, the flip side is we're not going to have storage and transportation bottlenecks this year.
Okay.
We're just going to have dryer bottlenecks.
All right. Well, you know what? I've got to let you go, but thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
All right, Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. We'll take more up on this during Commodity Week. You can listen to it online at willag.org.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bostard. Champaign police say any changes in the wording of their use of force policy comes from state and national recommendations. The defense of the policy comes 2 weeks after an officer's gun killed a teenager at the scene of where someone called in a burglary. Relatives and friends later said Kiwan Carrington was welcome in the home where he was shot. A release from the police department says its policy on the use of lethal force coincides with the standards from the police department. Says its policy on the use of lethal force complies with standards it needs to follow to gain national accreditation. Chief R.T. Finney says the policy itself has not changed. City Council members have set a November 10th study session on the policy, which some say allows police to fire at someone simply trying to flee from an arrest. Finney says that interpretation is incomplete and a fleeing felon would also have to threaten harm to police or others. The superintendent at Iroquois County Schools is meeting today with the county's local health department to decide whether to reopen Watseka High School next week. More than 100 of the school's 330 students were out Wednesday with flu symptoms, and the health department recommended the school close yesterday and today. Superintendent Steve Bianchetta says he expected to reopen on Monday, but adds it's likely the high school will have to extend its school year. Meanwhile, Urbana Assistant Superintendent Don Owen says the city's high school is not close to closing its doors, but may have to reevaluate if its absence is double. About 130 students of the 1,100 students at UHS were absent Wednesday. Three teens arrested in the beating death of a Chicago honor student have been formally indicted on first-degree murder charges. Prosecutors claim they killed 16-year-old Darian Albert on September 24th during a melee captured on cell phone video. It shows Albert being struck with boards and kicked as he lay on a sidewalk. Police have described the sophomore at Christian Finger Academy High School as an innocent bystander. Indiana's Human Services Chief says the state doesn't anticipate laying off any private or public caseworkers as it switches to a new welfare delivery system. But Ann Murphy told the State Budget Committee today that there will be changes at call centers currently operated by an IBM-led group once the company's contract ends December 14th. Governor Mitch Daniels fired IBM last week for poor service. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, right here, the Illinois State Water Survey and the University of Illinois, belongs to NOAA, is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Hiya, Todd.
I can't believe that we're in the midst of a weather market as we head into the month of November, but we are, so we need to know pretty much for sure what's going to happen with the rainfall, and can you nail it all down, or is it just too tricky?
Well, it is a little tricky, but I think the general trends we can sort of pick out, and I hate to say it, but this last week we probably had the longest stretch of dry weather. It is the longest stretch of dry weather we've had in October, and right now it looks like the longest stretch we might have for the next week or two. Things look pretty active again next week with a couple of weather systems coming through the Midwest. What we really need is several days, 3 to 5 days of dry weather so the ground dries up, especially after this storm, which put down as much as 2 to 3 inches of rain from Missouri up through central Illinois and northward. But it looks like we could have another system through here over the weekend with some light showers. And then again, early in the week, cold front coming through. Now, neither of those two will probably be heavy rain events, but certainly they're not going to allow us to dry out a lot. And then potential for another strong rain-producing system next weekend is in the cards right now. So the next week is pretty iffy as far as the weather is concerned. Beyond that, beyond next weekend, which is still getting into what we sometimes call fantasy land when we talk about the long-range models, there is some indication we could pick up several days, consecutive days, 3 to 4 days of dry weather, but a lot can happen between now and then. But right now, the immediate future doesn't look too rosy.
Do you recall the last time around it that when we were this wet for this long in the fall? And I guess November seems to me that it's awfully gray and usually wet, but I just don't recall it being this kind of wet for a very long time.
Yeah, you're right. November tends to be the month. If we get stretch of weather like we've had this October, it tends to be in November. Some Novembers can be pretty dismal around here. October is usually a pretty good month,
right?
And we haven't totaled up everything yet because we still got another week to go. But I think this is going to end up as probably will end up as the coldest October on record, and it's going to be in the top five probably of precipitation Octobers as well. So pretty much what we've seen this year is unprecedented as far as our records are concerned.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
No, fortunately, we haven't had a hard freeze throughout the southern half of the Midwest, so we're still keeping our fingers crossed on that.
Okay. Thanks much, Steve.
Okay, Todd.
You have a good weekend.
You
Steve,
too.
Mm-hmm. Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey. That's right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, which, of course, is the home of Illinois Public Media and of Commodity Week. That's our weekend look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Our guest this week will be from Midco, and our panelists in studio include Matt Bennett and Jackie Vakes and Mike Georgie. If you'd like to listen to that program, you can do it on some radio stations. You can also visit our website. We'll have it posted there by about 6 o'clock this evening. We always record about 4:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. One other note, while most farmers won't be out, you've got to be careful on those roads because they move slow when they're there. And watch out for mud because they're going to be dragging it out of the fields. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.